Good morning, John Mackey here, Master Credit Solutions, U.S. Credit Project, and Give Me Credit Media. If you'd like to reach me, call me at 888-417-3400 or 612-216-4910. You can also reach me at John Mackey at MasterCreditSolutions.com. Today is Tuesday, June 16, 2015. Here is your news. The Federal Trade Commission on Thursday announced a settlement in its first internet crowdfunding case, which involved a board game maker who investigators say took in more than $120,000 on Kickstarter to fund a project but spent the money on personal expenses, including rent. The FTC says Eric Chevalier advertised in May 2012 that he planned to produce a board game called The Doom That Came to Atlantic City, designed by two prominent board game artists. In all, 1,246 people gave pledges of $75 or more to Mr. Chevalier. The project was expected to conclude within 6 months. But rather than deliver copies of the game or promise pewter figurines to these donors, as he had promised to do once he reached his $35,000 goal, Mr. Chevalier took in money until he had raised nearly four times that amount. He then announced in July 2013 that the project had been canceled. He pledged to deliver refunds. They never arrived, nor did any of the promised mementos. Mr. Chevalier instead put the money toward moving himself to Portland, paying his rent and financing licenses for unrelated projects, according to the FTC. Many consumers enjoy the opportunity to take part in the development of a product or service through crowdfunding, and they generally know there's some uncertainty involved in helping start something new. But consumers should be able to trust their money will actually be spent on the project they funded. Now, this settlement is the first action the agency has taken involving such a funding scheme. The recent breach at Eataly in New York City reflects a trend that security consultants and law enforcement officials have seen for years. Bent on stealing credit card information, hackers are going after smaller retailers and restaurants, as well as big national chains like Target and Home Depot. The smaller businesses, which tend to have less sophisticated security defenses, are more vulnerable to hackers seeking to exploit weak spots in the point-of-sale systems used by companies to process credit card payments. One frustration for the authorities investigating these cases is that many attacks against small companies go unreported because the businesses are not publicly traded and are bound by fewer disclosure requirements. Still, half of 675 small businesses surveyed by the National Small Business Association reported being victims of hackers' attacks last year, up from 44% in 2013. And those companies that reported being hacked last year, 68% said they had been victimized at least twice. Many small businesses are lured into thinking they are immune from hacking because they are too small to draw attention, security consultants say. The Secret Service, which oversees the investigation of many of the point-of-sale attacks, has found that some criminals test out new disruptive malware programs on smaller businesses before unleashing them on bigger companies. Debt collectors often have a difficult time getting a response from the person they're trying to reach. So they leave phone calls, and they leave phone calls unanswered. Calls are not returned. A text message can cut through the clutter. God bless them. There's nothing wrong with trying to make contact via text as long as the collection agency follows all the rules, and you know how they love to do that. According to the FTC, some do not. Oh, really? A few weeks ago, federal courts in New York and Georgia temporarily shut down three debt collection agencies accused by the FTC of sending deceptive and threatening text messages, among other things. These deceptive texts, the FTC complaint alleged, were used to trick people into calling them back. Debt collectors are required to clearly identify themselves and clearly explain the intent of their communication, each and every time. That's the law. If you're like me, you like to travel during the summertime. Here is one item that I think is very appropriate this time of year. One safety factor that you can put into place to make things a whole lot easier. Let your credit card company know you are traveling. Foreign travelers should let their bank know about their travel plans to avoid having purchases declined because of a fraud concern. In addition to notifying your bank, make sure you know how to contact your card issuer both online and via phone in case you run into a problem. Carrying more than one card and having extra cash for emergencies can help you make sure you'll be able to cover costs while traveling. Declined transactions can be a major hassle for travelers, which is why some companies are looking for a way to cut down on how they happen while still protecting people from fraud. Now, Visa recently launched a service called Mobile Location Confirmation, and that uses cell phone data to determine whether the cardholder is the person making the purchase. Thank you for listening. This is John Mackey, Master Credit Solutions and Give Me Credit Media. That was the news.